by working. Now challenge each other.
He won. A fight for the world. He dropped.
Let's go. He played the main, baby. Let's get him.
Oh, my God. No.
Did you get it?
No, man.
60 plus minutes.
Welcome once again to the Friday edition of Eagles Live. It's the last time that we get to say it in the 2011 year and season. Certainly got to do a little shady bounce at that. I'm Chris McPherson. This is Bo Wolf. And parting will be such sweet sorrow as it is coming down to the last moments of the 2011 season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Nonetheless, they have one game remaining here in the year. They got to take out the Washington Redskins Sunday at 1 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. We'll talk about that game with Gary Fitzgerald from Redskins.com. But overall, what are some of the things that you want to see out of this team in the final game of the season as we count down the final moments?
Well, I think it's another measure of this team's heart, obviously. You see how much they really want to get to 8-8, and I think that is a real thing that they want. And obviously, you continue to dominate within the division. They have a chance to go 5-1 within the division. That's pretty impressive, and obviously, you would think going into the year, if you go 5-1 within the division, you're going to the playoffs.
Of course.
But alas, that's not the case. And if they win, they'll finish in second place in the division. That means you'll get the second place schedule moving forward to next season. But a lot of things that I want to see. I want to see if Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie can perform well on the outside again. I thought he played very well against the Cowboys. Obviously, all eyes on Jaquan Jarrett at safety, his second start in place of Kurt Coleman. It's a chance that this could be the 2012 secondary, and I'd like to see how they perform against Rex Grossman and the Redskins, a guy who they intercepted four times back in week six.
Kurt Coleman had three of those interceptions. Unfortunately, he will not be playing. He was placed on injured reserve with the partially torn biceps muscle. A little intriguing that they have not yet filled that spot on the roster.
Weird.
So you wonder if there's someone they have an eye on, whether it's someone from another team's practice squad that you want to get under contract for next season, maybe one of the practice squad guys you want to bring up here. Don't know if that person will actually get to play, but just looking ahead, moving forward, trying to start building the offseason roster, a little intriguing that they haven't done anything along those lines. Now you look at the offense. LeSean McCoy was a limited participant in Thursday's practice. Are you a little surprised at all that he fully intends and expects to play this Sunday against the Redskins?
I'm not surprised that he wants to play. Obviously, he's chasing the rushing title still. He's, you know, over 100 yards behind Maurice Jones-Drew. But and obviously, you know, Shady's a guy who loves to play. That's what Andy Reid always says. You know, guy loves to play the football game. And so I'm not surprised that he wants to play. I would be surprised if he really gets, like, you know, 30 carries.
Certainly.
That would be a little bit of a shock, obviously. Because, you know, you saw what happened to Adrian Peterson last week. You never want to put your running back in harm's way when he doesn't need to be. But, you know, LeSean McCoy, this has been his season. The 2011 season, I think, we'll all really remember for LeSean McCoy. Obviously, I'm looking forward to seeing him out there on New Year's Day. And, you know, I hope Deion Lewis gets a fair amount of carries as well.
Certainly, you hope that would be the case. The thing is, the coach's mindset going to this game is they're, for the most part, looking at this game in a vacuum. They're not saying, just throw out the young guys, your Greg Lloyds, your Sed Thorntons, the guys who really haven't played at all this season. To them, if a guy's not ready to perform, and I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but we haven't seen them in action yet. If a guy's not ready to perform, he's not getting on the field.
Right.
And to the coaches, they really want to finish the season on a high note. You mentioned the division record that's on the line, the placement there. But they would love to say that they won their last four games of the regular season, that they finished 8-8 on the season. It would be a non-losing season. And when you talk to the guys in the locker room, that's a source of pride for this football team, is to at least say, look, obviously we didn't make the playoffs. We fell short of expectations. But you can't consider us a losing team because we got at least that 500 record. And Colin Jenkins has said this a couple times in the locker room this week. You can really carry the momentum from one season into the next. And he pointed to the 2006 Green Bay Packers team that he was on that was 4-8 like the Eagles were. They finished 8-8. They narrowly missed out on a wild card spot in the final week of the season. But the next season, 2007, they were 13-3. They got all the way to the NFC Championship game where they lost, don't know how still, but they lost in overtime to New York Giants, and even points to last year's Packers team, which won the Super Bowl. There's been no hangover for them whatsoever, you know, winning their first 14 games before finally losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're right back in the thick of things. You know, they're going to be the number one seed. They're going to have home field advantage and will be many people's favorite. to go back to the Super Bowl once again.
Absolutely. So plenty to talk about on the show today. Good guests, and we are obviously taking your calls, 215-339-6709. And we open up the show today with Janice from Cincinnati. Janice, how are you?
Hello, Janice.
Hey there.
Hi, how's it going? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. I just wanted to tell you all, we're here in Cincinnati. We have been fans forever. Moved to Cincinnati from Philadelphia 37 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
My kids are fans. My daughter got her senior picture taken with an Eagle jersey on.
Really? Is that so? Now, have you been able to keep the whole Eagles tradition, even though that you're in a city that has a football team of its own in the Bengals? I know the fan support isn't as great there, obviously, but I'm surprised that the kids haven't taken to that. How have you been able to avoid that?
They have just, they didn't want to. My daughter actually bought me an Eagles tattoo for Christmas, and
really?
I just got it done on my back the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued to see pictures of this. You can send it to our Twitter account.
I can't. She'll have to do it for me.
Okay.
I'm not really that
flexible
on all that technological stuff, but we can do that.
Certainly. Definitely.
That Eagles insider. All right.
Indeed. Janice, obviously you have to be very happy. There's a couple of players on the Eagles who went to the University of Cincinnati, three very key players, center Jason Kelce, you have Trent Cole, and Brent Celek, who's had an amazing second half here in this 2011 season.
Yes, Brent Celek, my daughter's pillow pet's actually nicknamed Selly.
Really?
Yes.
I have to pass the word along that the fan support for him in Cincinnati is still very strong.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we are looking forward to next year because I think that no preseason this year really, really hurt us. And I think we're going to come on strong next year, just like you all were just saying. So
certainly hope so. Well, Janice, as a token of our appreciation for your diehard Eagles fandom, we are going to present you with this Nnamdi Asamoah signed football.
Awesome. That is fabulous.
And we'll send it out to you. Stay on the line and give your information to our man, Colin.
Excellent.
I will do that. Thank you so much.
And
go Eagles on Sunday.
Definitely. Happy New Year to you, Janice. Thank you very much for the support.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, such a giving mood
to
start the show here. Usually,
we got to start things off right, hook the people in.
You're the salty one, usually. You're usually the one that
that's true. I'm
stingy with it. You want to give, the impossible trivia question to
that's true. We'll put out a trivia question, maybe. But, this one's about fan appreciation.
It is. It is certainly fan appreciation week, and we have a great promotion where if you go to philadelphiaeagles.com/fans, we have a fan appreciation sweepstakes that fans can enter to for some tremendous prizes, some more autographed merchandise, not just this Nnamdi Asamoah signed football. And don't forget, on Sunday, we don't want to just beat the Redskins on the football field, but we want to beat them in the social media landscape as well. You can check out our social showdown page at philadelphiaeagles.com/social showdown. And make sure you hashtag beat Redskins. Speaking of getting on Twitter, as hopefully Janice will send us that photo of the newly inked Eagles tattoo. But make sure you check out our social showdown page coming up this Sunday as we hope to beat the Redskins. So definitely a lot of optimism. You hope that the momentum can build into next season. And one of the players who's going to be integral to the team's success next season is quarterback Michael Vick. And exactly. And he's won all of his games since his return to the lineup from the rib injury.
Yep.
And a big topic of discussion yesterday was Marty Mornarwake talked about it before practice. Vic talked about it after practice is that Vic needs to work on two things. And that's one, protecting himself because for the second straight year, he missed three games due to an injury, a rib injury. And for a problem this year has been turnovers. Career high tying, 13 interceptions, other fumbles. Vic said afterwards he hasn't been running the football as much, and you can see in the stats where he's only had 51 rushing yards in the last three games. That's a three-game combined career low, and I believe he had 9 rushing yards in that win over Miami. That's the first time since I think it was 2006 where he started a game at quarterback and had fewer than 10 rushing yards in a contest. Do you think that we're seeing a new Michael Vick, a smarter Michael Vick, or at the end of the day, is this a facet of his game, the aggressive style play and the ability to use his legs, is that something that you're just never going to be able to take away from him?
Well, I don't think you want to take it away. You know, that's part of what makes Michael Vick such an elite quarterback. You don't want to take away his running game because that dual threat is what makes him so dangerous against opposing defenses. But I will say he has plenty of weapons around him that they don't need to be relying on him to do the bulk of the rushing. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is second in the league in rushing. He's a guy who can be your bell cow. You've got Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, Brent Celek, and Jason Avant, all these guys to throw the ball to. So he can be more of a point guard distributing the ball, I think, but certainly you don't want to eliminate him running the ball, but you do want him to eliminate the unnecessary hits. You want him to get out of bounds. You want him to get down. And I know that that's not in his makeup necessarily, but as Marty Morningwick said, he's got to learn it because this team cannot afford to have him missing many games.
No question about it. Two things that are actually kind of funny. The 1 year, 2006, where he rushed for over 1,000 yards at the quarterback position, he actually played in every single game that season, the only time he's done that in his career. And the most recent injury came while he was trying to pass the ball from the pocket.
Right.
So it's the situations where, look, there's times where he's going to take hits, and you just hope that he's able to bounce up after each one. Well, we took our Philadelphia.com cameras into the locker room after practice, and here is Vic talking about what he needs to work on moving towards next season and whether he needs to do a better job of protecting himself and the football.
Are you going to dip yourself in Kevlar?
I might do that too, yeah. Eagle really has to come through and create a product that's going to keep me on the field. So putting a lot of pressure on them to get that done.
Well, how do you separate?
I drink a lot of milk too as well.
Being calcium. Safe without changing the way you play the game.
Well, I think if you look at the last three games, I may only have 100 rushing yards total in the last three games, if that. So I'm not running the ball as much, getting the ball out of my hands, playing a game from a quarterback perspective. And I thought about that stat today. And you know, so ever since I came back, I've been real cautious about, you know, and you think about the last two injuries, they've been rib injuries. So, you know, I think, you know, it's just all about, you know, keeping my body strong, being smart, you know, and understanding that, you know, it's the time to go all out and the time to be conservative and preserve yourself. So you just got to be smart in that regard. And, you know, hey, I made it through 13 games this year. So, hey, my other three was very important. And I should have been out there. But I find a way to get through it. I made it through 16 before.
In
06? Yeah, 06, yeah. And I ran for 1,000 yards. So I guess it's... I got hit a lot. Freak out. It's just, you know.
But,
older too. Older
you'd be too. Okay with finishing a season with 200 rushing yards, if, you know, 180 rushing
absolutely.
Yards if you could
absolutely.
Play 16 games?
Even if I had no rushing yards. Rushing yards really don't mean anything to me anymore. I got the record. That's on the shelf. It'd be there for a long time. And then not to say that I was chasing that. It just happened by the grace of God, and I'm very thankful for it. But I think right now what matters the most is winning week in and week out. And same, I can have 120 passing yards. As long as we win that game, that's all that matters.
Well, the thing on the turnovers is, I mean, you're a very aggressive, confident personality. That's one of the things that makes you good. But there are times, like, you'll be running to the left and you'll throw it back to the right and it won't get there. You know, is that
I think I've had one or two interceptions where I threw back across my body. I've had a couple of that, five or six balls that got tipped. But, you know, I mean, I take the blame for my share of turnovers, and they're going to happen. But it's all in how you come back from it, how you approach it, the type of approach you take. And I'm not going to blame the season on that. You know, I'm not going to say that's the reason we didn't thrive as a team. We didn't thrive as an offense. Certain things didn't happen. So, you know, we're just going to see what happens. See what happened and got to just learn from it.
Last one, guys. Running less these last three games, has that been something intentional or just kind of a product of how those games are going? Did something click that I really like the way this is going?
It's just product of how the game's been going. I mean, I run when I have to, and if I don't have to, then I won't. But at the same time, you know, I play my game. I play my game, and that'll never change. And I have fun doing it, and I have a lot of success doing it. And we all see that. And, you know, it's just about tightening certain things up, you know. We'll see how it goes.
So it's still possible for you to play kind of on the edge like you do?
I'm always playing on the edge.
But still kind of keep it a little safe.
I'm always playing on the edge. Right. Always. That'll never change. That's until the day that I retire, I always play with, very aggressively. That'll never change.
But you can still kind of work that into being safer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I got the last three games, I probably got hit probably about 15, 16 times, and I bounced up.
Yeah.
So it's just that one hit that gets you. And, you know, who knows when that's going to happen. And when it happens, you just got to bounce back from it.
What's up, fans? This is Jeremy Macklin. I just want to thank you guys for your support all throughout the season. I wish everybody a safe and happy new year, and we'll be back next season.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Hi, I'm Mike Parris. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out and supporting us every week, and have a happy and healthy New Year's.
Good to see the grizzle, Mike Parris, there, your 2011 Ed Block Courage Award winner. Now, we have to reach back out to Janice here in Cincinnati because we actually discovered an autographed Brent Celek jersey. So I think she would not mind taking that in a trade for the Nnamdi Asamoah football. But if you have a chance, Janice, if you're still listening to the show, or if you want to tweet us at Eagles Insider, please let us know if you'd rather have the jersey, especially for her daughter, who would have something to cover Celek with at nighttime.
Yes.
We're going back to the phone lines. My man Lee in Fort Lauderdale is joining us here on the show. Lee.
Bo, how you guys doing? Happy holidays to you, man.
Happy New Year to you, man. How's everything with you?
Oh, man, all is well, man. The weather's beautiful, you know.
Stop.
I would rather
stop rubbing it in.
Yeah, now, but, that's... you know, it is what it is. We just got to get a win on Sunday. So, you know, I tell you guys one thing. I am happy to hear that Mike Vick, you know, our record is our record for several reasons. But I'm happy to hear Mike said that he knows he needs to go down, because as he goes, the team goes. So I'm happy he understands that, man, because if he's in one of those three games that he's lost, it's a possibility we're in the playoffs now. We're playing to be in the playoffs.
Certainly. Well, they won the Giants game without him.
If he hadn't left the Falcons game, they would have won.
Now you look at those games, that game and the Giants game, the first Giants game,
right?
Actually, if he stayed in those games. The Falcons, well, I mean, he was drilled into or thrown into Todd Harriman's. Some of the things are freakish injuries, but some of the things you hope you can avoid. But maybe the Seattle game, if he plays, they have a shot.
Yeah.
Don't know. I mean, Vince Young throwing four interceptions doesn't really give you a chance. But the thing is, my only concern is that you hear this from Michael, but does he really mean it? Is he saying it because...
Right. Are you going to do it?
Exactly. Yeah, are you actually going to do it? Because he kept saying, oh, I'm going to slide next time. Well, we're not seeing him slide whatsoever. So, right. I'm sure he understands that, but he keeps having the mentality, he always has had the mentality that, oh, I can take hits. You know, it's like I've been getting thrown around since I played, backyard football as a kid. I've been hit millions of times, and it's as natural as walking. But at the same time, I'm not going to say he's old at 31, 32, but you got to make sure that you protect yourself as much as you can out there on the field.
Yeah. What do you guys, I think we're going to definitely beat the Redskins on Sunday. My prediction is 35-10.
I'll put that
in the books. We're going to finish strong for that last game of the season. But I wanted to ask both of you, what do you thought about, I think we're going to be somewhere, all depending on how other teams play, between 14 and 17. Anybody you guys looking at for next year, or have you even gone that far yet?
It's too early to say.
I have not.
Looking at.
I have not. I know I had Tony Pauline on Eagles Nightly the other night, just to kind of start throwing out some names, and the linebacker from Boston College, Luke Kuechly, would be, I'm sure every fan would love to see him in Midnight Green. That's the type of guy that, at a position, it would fill the need, probably be good value at that point. But so much is going to fluctuate and change. You got to wait for all the juniors and underclassmen to declare. And, we've got a little bit of time. I know fans are starting to head down that road, and for good reason.
Fran,
obviously,
who do you want?
But yeah, Fran Duffy, our associate producer here, he is a draft geek to the nines. He doesn't hide it. He's been studying guys for weeks now. He probably already has his top 100 list. Do you have your top 100?
I think we can say now that we will, Lee, have you covered at the Senior Bowl. We're going to have a nice PhiladelphiaEagles.com presence there once again. So we'll start the draft talk early, but now not quite the time yet.
Well, something to look forward to, man. I don't think we're going to see Asante Samuels. I think he's a great guy. He's helped us a lot. I don't think he's going to be here next year. And one of the three receivers are not going to be here. I think Macklin, DeSean Jackson, or Steve Smith, one of those are not going to be here. Steve Smith is the easy answer, but
Smith's only on a one-year deal.
Are you floating out the possibility? You think that Steve Smith could come back? I just think there's. I don't think there's any chance.
Turn the volume up a little bit, Chris. Say it again.
I just don't think there's any chance Steve Smith comes back here. That's a guarantee. So.
Yeah, but I think even maybe DeSean or Macklin, because. Do you guys agree we do need that red zone, that big body receiver?
I think Macklin's your guy.
Macklin's a very good red zone receiver. Most of his touchdowns actually have come in the red zone. I'm very happy with Jeremy.
I mean like 6'4", 6'5", that big target.
You could consider if you want to go with that philosophy, if you don't for some reason bring DeSean back, but I think Macklin and Jackson complement each other so well. I certainly would love to see DeSean here in Midnight Green for years to come, but that's going to remain to be seen. That's going to be the big storyline of this offseason. What does the team do with DeSean Jackson? Everyone's talking about possible franchise tag. Who knows? It's a lot of questions to be answered, but I do know, from what little I know about the draft at this point, there are a number of good quality skill position players coming out, but DeSean Jackson, that speed, it's a rare find in this league, to say the least. Yeah. And there's something to be said for a guy that can take the top off a defense, even as a decoy.
I definitely would want to keep him, but it's going to be interesting, man. I think this year is going to be – I think we're going to win this, hopefully. I'm hopeful. I think we're going to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. I just hope it's next year, man, because I think the city of Philadelphia is just – I mean, we've been waiting for it all our lives, man. So it's exciting, man. What's going on? Is this Fan Appreciation Day? What is this today, Chris and Bo? What is this?
It's Fan Appreciation Week. The entire week is just a salute, a thank you to all of the great fans. You know, just as a thank you for sticking with us through thick and thin. And I think, Bo, I think you got something in the...
We got a little something for you.
What are we going with
how
here?
How about a Danny Watkins signed football?
Oh, nice.
All right, the first round pick.
Nice. Good stuff, man.
We'll get
so
that.
You got my prediction. 35-10. Eagles, of course, over the Redskins. I believe it's going to happen.
Certainly.
All right. Well, stay on the line, Lee, and give your information to Colin, and we'll send you Mr. Watkins in the mail.
Watkins,
got it, man. Happy New Year to you guys, man. Looking forward to a great New Year with you guys. Happy Eagles Day, man.
Definitely. Take care, Lee, and hopefully get to party with them.
There you go.
In the near future, once again, down South Beach. We'll send it over our way. We'll wait to see if the Nnamdi Asamoah football
yes, could be back on the market.
Could be back in play here. Ryan, can you bring up that graphic again? These are the players that we have projected to be free agents going into this offseason. Some key guys, some guys like, obviously DeSean Jackson is the one everyone's going to talk about, but even under the radar guys, like Derek Landry was a guy that the Eagles brought back. They signed him in training camp. They didn't leave him on the team at the beginning of the season. They signed him midway through the year. And each and every week, he's just come up and made big-time play after play after play, and his role has expanded as the weeks have gone on. He's a guy you certainly hope to come back. Evan Mathis, a journeyman who has found a niche. He's found a home here in Philadelphia. He loves the fan base.
I would be shocked if Evan Mathis is not
the
on the
scheme,
team this year.
Working in Howard Mudd's scheme, has just been perfect for him. Antonio Dixon, restricted free agent.
He'll be
He's
back.
Coming off the triceps injury. You certainly expect him to be back. And he's going to be a very important piece of what the defensive line is going to look like going to next year. Because we'll start talking about draft. Defensive tackle is going to be a position, especially with Trevor Laws scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. With Dixon, you have a very formidable group there already, but do you need to add a little bit of youth? Do you need to start thinking about, Mike Patterson's been a veteran here. Colin Jenkins has been a veteran in the league for a long time. That would be a position I would not be surprised, knowing how the Eagles draft and their philosophy, them going after pretty high if there's a guy in those early rounds.
Definitely.
Because remember, they're going to have three very nice picks here because they also have that second-round pick courtesy of Arizona through the Kevin Cobb trade. So the Eagles are going to have lots of ammunition. They're going to have, over 10 picks once again in this year's draft. They're going to have the flexibility to do what they choose. So if there's a guy that they like, they'll be aggressive and go for him. It'll be interesting to see in these next couple weeks and as the draft process starts to unfold and you're going to be there at the epicenter of it at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, who are these guys that might come into the picture here?
That's a good point, obviously. Now, you agree that Evan Mathis...
Certainly.
The other one that intrigues me here is King Dunlap, and I'll tell you why, because... we've learned the value of that third tackle with the Eagles offensive line, and Winston Justice is still under contract, but he's, and he started and played very well in that Redskins game, hasn't seen the field since. He's still battling through that injury, I think, still getting over that knee injury. So whether the Eagles make an effort to bring King Dunlap back will tell you their confidence in Winston Justice, obviously, and if not, then maybe that's a position where they look to get an infusion of the youth as well.
That's a very good point. I do agree. Dunlap is probably the guy that... we're not going to be talking about. It's not going to generate the sexy headlines, but very important from that depth perspective because he was called into action this season, but he was also injured, which forced Winston Justice to have to start at right tackle in that first resident game. And then Todd Harriman's, who had not played left tackle since 2009, and that was for one start and really wasn't there on a full-time basis since 2005, his rookie season, was thrown into action to go against Brian Arakpo and did a marvelous job.
It's so interesting to think about King Dunlap, and he's such a project when he comes out. The Eagles spent a seventh-round pick on him, spent so much time developing him. Finally, they reap those rewards. He's the last two seasons, he's been a very good, valuable, versatile swing tackle, and now he goes to free agency just when he's hitting his peak. That's how it works. It's interesting.
Definitely. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a commercial break here on Eagles Live, and then we're going to bring on Gary Fitzgerald from Redskins.com. We're not really going to focus so much on the Eagles-Redskins battle this Sunday. We're going to talk about the Redskins' long-term prospects. What are they going to do at quarterback? And do they have any chance to get back into the NFC East mix in 2012? We'll have that and a whole lot more right here on Eagles Live.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
Hey fans, Jason Babin here. Thanks for supporting us this year, and have a happy new year.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
7 Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. 7 Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey fans, this is Nnamdi Asomugha. Just want to thank you for coming out and supporting us. Have a happy new year.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access. Redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Now, each and every week here on the show, we go behind enemy lines and we bring in our good friend Gary Fitzgerald from Redskins.com to the show. But first, we want to give Gary a little bit of thanks, because a couple weeks ago, the Redskins played arguably their best game of the season in beating the New York Giants and keeping the playoff hopes for the Eagles alive for just a little bit longer. So, Gary, as it is the season for the holidays, we want to thank you very much for that first and foremost.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on. That was the best game that the Redskins have played all season. It was a complete performance, offense, defense, special teams. And as you know, the Redskins pulled out the win 23-10. And, the Redskins seem to have the Giants' number this year, which is a rarity. The Giants seem to own the Redskins the last few years. But this year, the Redskins, even though they have a 5-10 record heading into tomorrow's or Sunday's game, we seem to have the Giants' number. So that's one positive from this disappointing season.
Gary, looking at the big picture prospects, because obviously both teams are out of the playoff race at this point, is there any question about whether Mike Shanahan will return as a coach next season? I know there's been some talk that for whatever reason he might not be back. You know, he's only had 2 years there in Washington. Is there any chance that he's not back?
Well, Mike Shanahan was asked that very question yesterday afternoon after practice, and he said there is no doubt that he will be back next season. You can never be quite sure with the Redskins, with this franchise's history, in the last decade, and Mike Shanahan's record the last two seasons, 6-10 in his first year, 5-10 this year, so not substantial progress. The team had a pretty solid draft class last year, at least from the first year. It looks pretty solid, so I think we're trying to build off that draft class, and Mike Shanahan had a big part in that. So I think Mike Shanahan is fine. with this franchise, though, you can never say never.
That's fair, Gary. And obviously, after the head coaching position, you ask about the quarterback position. Coming into the year, that was the big question mark. John Beck and Rex Grossman, you can obviously talk about how that worked out this season. But moving into the offseason, do you expect a quarterback change, maybe a youth infusion, or how do you see them addressing the position?
Well, yeah, quarterback is going to be, I'm sure, one of the primary needs for this team. John Beck, as you mentioned, he had a three-game stint earlier this season, and the offense just didn't seem to respond. He really struggled. He had a 10-sack game, and most of the sacks were attributed to his fault. And then Rex Grossman has started most of the season, and interceptions have just been a problem, and fumbles as well. He started 12 games this year, 19 interceptions, and five fumbles. So, and that's just been a killer. They seem to come at really inopportune times as well. So quarterback is certainly a need for this Redskins team, at least to get a young guy in. The Redskins should have a top 10 draft pick, and they'll be in the mix for all the names you've heard. Possibly Andrew Luck, the name that everyone is talking about, is the top pick. If a team like the St. Louis Rams can get that number one overall pick, and I'm sure the Redskins will be keeping an eye on the scoreboard after Sunday's game to see where everything falls. If a team like the Rams can get that number one pick, maybe there's a trade scenario that can develop, because as we all know, the Rams have Sam Bradford as their top quarterback. So and then there's Robert Griffin III, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Baylor. He's another top quarterback. There was a little bit of angst in the Washington, D.C. area a couple weeks ago when Matt Barkley, the USC rookie quarterback, the USC quarterback, opted to return to USC for his senior year. That seemed to give some angst to Redskins fans, because then it looked like possibly the team might not be able to grab one of those elite rookie quarterbacks in next year's draft. But we just have to wait to see how it all plays out.
Remember, the Redskins were involved in that 1999 draft trade involving the New Orleans Saints, where the Saints gave up their entire draft and then some to get that number five spot that the Redskins held so they could get Ricky Williams. So that certainly isn't out of the realm of possibility. Gary, are there any key free agents whom, you know, Redskins fans are nervous about possibly losing this offseason, guys that, you know, could be key to the future of the team?
Well, it's interesting. London Fletcher, our middle linebacker, or one of our inside linebackers, he's scheduled to be a free agent. And from all indications, the team wants him back. But, you know, obviously it takes both parties to finalize a deal. And London has been with the team. He's led the team in tackles each of the last five seasons. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. He's been here through four of his five seasons have been losing seasons, so he's getting up there in age. He's 36 years old, played in the league for 14 seasons now. So one would think he would want to play for a winner, but he does like it here. He does think that the Redskins are going in a good direction despite their record. So I think that's a deal that's going to work out, but it's going to be interesting to see how long the deal is. Is it for 3 years? Is it for 2 years? So, will London Fletcher be enticed to join a team that could have more success than the Redskins, you know, possibly in 2012, or could be considered a Super Bowl contender?
Here you're talking.
And beyond that, you know, there aren't that many other free agents that the team has.
Gary, you talked earlier about the draft class from this year. Moving forward, what are the biggest reasons of optimism for the Redskins? Who are the building blocks for this team?
Well, I think at running back is might be the most secure position. Last April, the team drafted Roy Helu in the fourth round, and in the sixth round, we drafted Evan Royster out of Penn State. And both of those players have sort of emerged in the latter half of the season. Roy Helu had three consecutive 100-yard rushing games, and Evan Royster last Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings rushed for 132 yards. And they both seem to really excel in that one, in Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's one-cut zone-blocking scheme, getting through those holes real fast. So the running back position is real secure, and for a Mike Shanahan offense, Kyle Shanahan offense, that's the foundation, making sure that there's a strong rushing attack, just like the one in Houston, for example, where Arian Foster has really excelled. So at running back is secure. I think looking forward to some of the team's needs on offense, you know, wide receiver, a big wide receiver might be in the mix. The team really likes the rookie Leonard Hankerson, a third-round draft pick last year. He impressed in about two or three games before he suffered a season-ending injury in Week 10. He really impressed with some nice catches. And he's kind of a big target, but I think the team is still looking for a bigger wide receiver to join Santana Moss and Jabbar Gaffney, who's also had a very fine season here. And the offensive line, I think it could be a need position as well. But there are some building blocks there. Maurice Hurt is a rookie who's been starting at left guard. And Trent Williams, who unfortunately is suspended at the moment, he's certainly expected to be back at left tackle, and he was having a fine season before his unfortunate suspension.
Gary Fitzgerald from Redskins.com, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines, and Happy New Year to you. We'll see you at the stadium this Sunday right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Eagles fans, this is guard Evan Mathis. I wanted to wish you all a very happy holidays. Bah humbug.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. Alongside me, as always, NFL Film Senior Producer Greg Cosell. And Greg, the biggest opponent this week, the Washington Redskins, Mike Shanahan, that zone running scheme. This guy has made a lot out of backs that not a lot of people knew about. Terrell Davis, Mike Anderson, Alandis Gary, and recently, Mike Bell. Show us their zone rushing attack.
Here's the premise behind the outside zone run game. It's really very simple if you think about it. What you're trying to do is stretch the front side, the play side, and you can see that as we run it a little bit.
Look at the offensive line. It's what we like to call elephants on parade. They stretch the front side. They're moving laterally. No one is going up to the second level. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So you stretch the front side, and then you seal or cut the backside. That creates a gap. That's why they always say about zone runners or backs they think can become good zone runners that they have to have one cut downhill ability. Because what happens now is terrain sort of runs laterally, which you could see, and then he's right here. Here's the front side stretched. Here is the seal, and he's going to run through that gap. He has great patience. He sticks his foot in the ground. You can see it right there, and he will go downhill.
That's a sharp cut.
Boom.
Wow. The first segment, we took a look at the zone running scheme of the Redskins, and in this part, we're going to take a look at their passing game, and I got to tell you, I've been pleasantly surprised, A, how Rex Grossman has played so far. Let's talk about what they're doing in the passing game.
And there's no question that Grossman has been efficient. He always, in each game, seems to make a mistake or two, but for the most part, he's played under control. I think Mike Shanahan has done a terrific job with his play calling. He's managed Grossman. He's manipulated him. Now, the dynamic player in this pass game, the vertical stretch player, is Santana Moss. And you see him right here. Now, notice that this is what we call a minus split. Now, it's very hard to play pure press man to a minus split because there's too much space on either side. The sideline right now is not your friend. You can't push a guy to the sideline because there's too much room. So a minus split like this, Adam, usually pushes the corner off a little bit and gives a smaller receiver like Moss a clean release. So you'll see, he's going to run what we call a skinny post. This is a quick skinny post, or a bang eight, as we say, because a post route is an eight route, and a bang eight means it's quick. Bang, it's a quick, so it's
got
a bang eight. Notice that it looks like Grossman fakes the ball to no one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. But watch the bang eight. Look at the timing. Five-step drop, plant, bang, throw.
Wow.
And look, that is a bang look eight. At the separation Beautiful. Between Moss and Mike Jenkins, the corner, and therefore he has room to run.
We really have to look at the Redskins' defense because that has been maybe the story of this football team. And the offense has improved, but the defense has just improved greatly over last year. But I think a lot of it has to do with the better personnel. Ron Landry is just getting back to health, and he's always been a good football player. We know about Brian Arakpo has been a very good football player since being a first-round pick for the Redskins, but Ryan Kerrigan's another guy, so let's take a look at all these elements because these guys are playing a pivotal role in their defense.
Well, Kerrigan, to me, has been the revelation. I watched him at Purdue. He was a down defensive end. I did not think he'd be a great NFL player, nor did I think he could play 3-4 outside linebacker. And he has played 3-4 outside linebacker at a high level. He's not just a good player. He's better than that. And he's been really important to them. The key player, though, is Brian Arakpo. And you can see him right here. This is their base 3-4, by the way. You can see it. Base 3-4, three down linemen. Arakpo stand up at right outside linebacker. Kerrigan stand up at left outside linebacker. Arakpo is the pure pass rusher. And you notice they want him on the open side of the formation. Now, what that means, Adam, notice the tight ends are on this side, on the right side of the offense. No tight end here. That's the open side of the offensive formation. Now, this play's a little different. This is a little bit of a deception play. Look at the hard stretch run action to the two tight end side. Notice that Arakpo initially flows down the line of scrimmage. He's reacting to what looks like run. That's exactly what the offense wanted, because what they want is for the center to turn back now and be in good position to block Arakpo and have Bradford comfortable in the pocket. It didn't quite work out that way, however. Look at Arakpo drive the center right back into Bradford.
Blew it up.
That's incredible leverage and strength. And not only is Arakpo fast, but he plays with great, great strength. Now, here's another play. This is where they're in their, what we call their sub package, where they're playing with five or six DBs. And in their sub package, Arakpo puts his hand on the ground, and so does Kerrigan. So it's just a four-man D-line, basically. But notice, this is very much like we've seen from the Eagles. Notice the track stance. Believe it or not, the Eagles are not the only team in the NFL
that play the wide nine probably, concept.
Kerrigan's really wide well.
Yes, and so is Arakpo. Now, here, Arakpo will work against the left tackle, Roger Saffold. And you'll see that Saffold turned his body to the sideline for no reason. He's retreating. Look at his body position. He's facing the sideline. When you face the sideline and you have not yet made contact with the pass rusher, you're finished. You lose. And that's exactly what happened here.
Great stuff there, as they have all season, from Greg and Adam. Nice little breakdown of the Redskins. Now, talk about offensive lines. One of the big decisions, this came up in a recent newspaper article, was what's the future of Howard Mudd? Because obviously he was signed here, getting up there in age, he was pulled out of retirement. Will he come back to the team next season? Because he has crafted what NFL analyst Brian Baldinger has said is the best offensive line in Eagles history. So you certainly would love to see him, especially with two rookies and, you know, a guy like Todd Harriman's in his first full season at the right tackle position. You would want to see Mudd come back and see his thing through. I think that's one of the more underrated storylines that everyone's going to be looking at this offseason when you talk about the coaches, is what is Howard Mudd going to do?
And free agent to be Evan Mathis, yes, who we talked about before, a perfect marriage of skill and scheme. Certainly it's something to follow, and I obviously hope that he's back. We've talked about how impressive the offensive line has been this season. The sack numbers are way down. Obviously, they've done a good job blocking for the second-leading rusher in the league. So, yeah, obviously, I hope that Howard Mudd's back. And I think my guess is that the plan when he came back was probably a two-year thing, same with Jim Washburn, and I hope that is the case, because obviously both those guys on either side of the line have totally lived up to the billing. They've done a great job, I think.
Yeah, certainly, especially with the mixing and matching of guys that Mudd had to do from the start of training camp. He had to get Daniel Watkins up to speed. I mean, how many players took snaps at right tackle before Todd Harriman's ended up the job? But you forget the guys like Ryan Harris that were in there. And there are other.
Don't forget one of my favorites, the current member of the New Orleans Saints practice squad, Finuki Tapu.
Yeah, there were like five or six guys. Who was the guy from? Reggie Wells. Reggie Wells, yeah, was in here at one point.
Reggie, the Cookie Monster Wells.
I wasn't going to make that reference towards him. That he had one time sitting in his locker, eight cookies from the cafeteria.
I'm trying to be subtle. You're just going to sell him down the river like that. Jeez. But yeah, revolving toward right tackle. And it turned out that they had the guy all along in Todd Harriman. So obviously, Howard Mudd did a great job. And he knew from the start that Jason Kelce was the guy for his
offense.
It's
amazing. You know, and that's actually, you mentioned Jason Kelce, a guy that is under contract, but it'll be interesting to see what happens to is Jamal Jackson, because he has been the consummate professional, hasn't complained about his role. I mean, this was a guy who has played it during his time here in Philadelphia at an all-pro level. He made Peter King's all-pro team a couple of years back. I mean, this was a guy that was very, very savvy, very, very strong at the point of attack, but unfortunately, he just did not fit what Howard Mudd wants is offensive linemen, and, you know, he's been relegated to special teams and backup duty this season. So it'll be intriguing to see if maybe he's a guy that could be dealt to another team this offseason. If it's obvious that Mudd's going to stay here and Jamal's not going to have an opportunity, you would want to almost do him a solid and allow him to go elsewhere where he can continue his very productive career.
And I actually talked to, we had Jason Kelce in the studio yesterday for Eagles Nightly, and I asked him about Julian Vandervelde, the guy who was the other draft pick, the fifth round pick, who hasn't played this year, really. And he said that, you know, everybody talks about how quick I am, this is Kelce, but Julian Vandervelde is even quicker.
Wow.
And he's a guy who is a little bit undersized, obviously, but a perfect marriage, again, for Howard Mudd's scheme, and I think he could be a versatile, a valuable inside interior backup right there in those three positions. So it'll be interesting to see how the depth at offensive line shakes out. But as you said, this has been, I think, the best offensive line, at least in recent memory for the Eagles, and I would certainly like to see them all come back.
Yeah, because everyone wants to talk about what the team didn't do right, the moves that they should have made, all the mistakes, but the one thing the Eagles got right certainly was the offensive line this offseason. Do we have a phone
Absolutely
call?
Absolutely, we do. We have Jordan from Virginia.
What's up, Jordan?
How you guys doing?
Happy New Year to you.
You guys too.
What's going on, buddy?
I was looking at the schedule for next season, and it's a lot tougher than this season, I think. How do you think we're gonna do?
The thing about the schedule is, and you can even look at this year's schedule, is at first glance, you look at the teams. Now, if the Eagles win, I'm expecting an Eagles win. They'll be in second place. So they play the AFC North, obviously going to be very tough. They're going to play the NFC South, which you expect to be very tough. You play your NFC East teams, and then you're playing Detroit in the NFC North.
If they win, right.
And then they're playing, and then out west, you're either playing Arizona or Seattle.
And probably Seattle, right?
I think so. I think that's how it'll work out. Most likely Seattle again. So, on the surface, yes, very, very tough schedule across the board, but it's not just who you're playing. It's what is that team at the time you get them. You look at the Chicago Bears. The Eagles got the Chicago Bears when they were one of the hotter teams in the league, and I'll be quite honest, when they saw them back on November 7th, I said that this might be the team that might challenge the Packers in terms of coming out of the NFC. Well, you lose your quarterback, you lose your running back, their season's gone down the drain. You look at the Buffalo Bills, they were the darlings of the AFC East when the Eagles got them. They're going to finish with a worse record than the Eagles are. So a lot of it just depends on when do you catch certain teams during the course of the season. Injuries are going to be a factor, but no question, you're getting a second-place schedule. It's going to be a tough one, especially when you look at those divisions. The AFC North, you know, Baltimore, Cincinnati's on the rise. Pittsburgh's tough year in and year out. And then NFC South with the Saints, who many people now think could actually challenge the Packers to come out of the NFC. Falcons have been a very good team now. They're going back to the playoffs once again. Carolina's going to be on the rise with Cam Newton at quarterback. So, yeah.
Cam Newton, Michael Vick, that sounds tasty.
That is going to be a very, very nice matchup, to say the least. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but let's see what moves the Eagles make. Let's see how they draft. Let's see what the makeup of the team going into it. And then when you get to each week, it's going to be, which teams you get early in the season, which teams you get later in the season. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But on the surface, yeah, it's going to be a pretty tough schedule. But I think most years you look at the Eagles' schedule because most of the time they have a first or second place schedule. And it's a pretty tough one. You looked at this year's schedule, they were playing the AFC East. So you knew they were getting the Patriots and the Jets. You knew that they were going to be some tough games.
I mean, 4 or 5 of the games this year, we easily could have won if we just finished them out. So I think, it's fine. Some key players and just finish out the games and we should be all right.
I think that's the best thing. Hey, Jordan, do you have a prediction for us?
Let's say 23-14.
Jordan, happy new year to you and thank you very much for the phone call. I think by far the one thing that you have to take is how this team has responded in these last 4 games that you haven't seen a quit, that you've seen guys that want to still put in the extra work. They're still fighting to get better on the field, because I'll be quite honest, I thought going into that game in Miami, I was worried we were going to see this team just collapse. You saw that horrific performance against Seattle, which was very difficult. The fact the team was going, east to west on a very short week, not in their best interest, but still they were outplayed.
You did not have your starting quarterback.
No, you didn't have your starting quarterback that game. But then you're going against Miami. Miami was hot at the time. They were playing very good football. They were taking care of the football with Matt Moore quarterback. Then they got off to that bad start. I was like, oh, man, is this thing going to literally unravel in front of our faces? But the Eagles rebounded and have won every game since. So proud to see that. You hope that they'll get to 500 to finish out the season, and you hope that they can build on that momentum going into 2012.
And as you talked about earlier in the season, shows the importance of having Michael Vick at quarterback and how important it is to have him healthy. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about Jason Kelce in the studio on Eagles Nightly. Only 2 Eagles Nightlies left on the air. I can't believe it. It's so sad. I'm sad about it. But let's bring you now Jason Kelce from last night. Good stuff from the former high school hockey player, Jason Kelce.
And welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. A very special guest in the studio, Eagles starting center Jason Kelce. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
First of all, the Flyers hat. Have you been to any games?
I've only been to one, the home opener. But I plan on going to the Winter Classic on the 2nd, so it should be pretty fun.
Yeah, that'll be very cool. Former high school hockey player. We were talking a little bit before. But, Jason, I want to start with Brian Baldinger, former offensive lineman, obviously, for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Talks a lot about football. And he said that he believes that you deserve to be in the Pro Bowl. I don't know if you necessarily agree with that, but do you feel like you've played at that level?
That's tough to say. I think there's a lot of good centers in the NFL and in the NFC. I think what I have done is just progressively each week I've gotten better and better. And that's been my goal since the beginning of the season. And I think, you know, I'm playing at a much higher level now than I was at the beginning of the year. And I'm proud of the way I'm ending the season. And hopefully coming into next year, I'll be able to even improve further.
How much has this season matched up to your expectations coming in?
You know, it's been completely different than my expectations. I think coming in, I was expecting more to honestly just be, you know, try and make the team. I mean, I was a sixth-round draft pick. A lot of those guys end up getting cut, or we had a lot of draft picks too with the Eagles this year. So I didn't really know what the situation was going to be like. And, you know, I just really came in with the mindset to work hard, get better, and try and prove that I was had potential to be a good player in the future.
Once you got that starting job going into the season, what was most different on the field from what you were expecting?
You know, I mean, physically, obviously, everybody's much bigger and faster. But I think I expected everybody to be bigger and faster. I think the biggest thing that's different is really you just kind of feel like you're in a different environment. Everything seems, you know, kind of, it's different. You don't really feel comfortable out there because it's in a new environment. You're playing next to different guys. It's your first time ever doing it, almost.
More proud of the fact that through 16 games, you know, you held up physically very well, or more proud of the fact that mentally you were able to adjust to the game plan and take care of that aspect?
I think the mental aspect was the more difficult one, so I'd say I'm more proud of that. I mean, physically, things haven't changed that much, but you can't do anything physically until you get squared away mentally, and that was the biggest thing that was tough for me, is just making sure I know all the calls, making sure I know where everybody's going on every single play. And now, once I've learned that, now I'm able to start concentrating on the physical things, like technique and, you know, staying low and all that other things.
Who helped you out most with the mental aspect?
Howard Mudd. I mean, Jamal Jackson did a great job of helping me out as well. And then in camp, even Mike McGloom was pretty helpful. So, I mean, the veterans here have all been very beneficial to both me and Danny. So it's, but I'd say mentally probably the most beneficial one was Howard.
If you look at the numbers, the offensive line has probably performed better this year than the Eagles have had in several years. The sack numbers are way down. Obviously, you have one of the league's leading rushers in LeSean McCoy. Yeah. As an offensive lineman, do you have more fun blocking for the run? Or?
Oh, man. Run's way more fun. I mean, pass blocking isn't very fun at all. I mean, you like doing it because, you know, we make good yardage out of it, and it's just, that's part of the game. But, you know, the pass blocking aspect, you're kind of reacting more than delivering a blow, whereas in run blocking, you know, you get to fire off the ball and actually hit them for a change.
Now, the majority of those runs have gone to the left side behind Evan Mathis and Jason Peters. What makes that combination so impressive?
Well, I think, first of all, both of them are extremely athletic. I think Jason is probably one of the best athletes on the team, which is saying a lot for an offensive lineman. And they're both very strong, very powerful guys. So, I mean, as far as a left-sided combo in the NFL, I think those two would be hard to beat.
And then on the right side, Todd obviously slides from guard to tackle and does it seamlessly, does a great job at right tackle.
Yep.
And then Danny slides in there a few games into the season. How do you think those guys did?
Well, I think, first of all, Todd, and he did more than just right tackle as the season went. He played a little bit of left. He was playing guard at the beginning of the year, like you said. I mean, he was bouncing all over the place. So for him to be as consistent as he's been is a testament to you know, the mindset he brings every day. I mean, he's just ready to work and work hard every single day. So Todd's been outstanding, and then Danny, you know, he's been coming along just like I have. Every week has been an improvement, really. You know, there might be step backs here and there per play, but overall, you know, he's just gotten better and better.
I wanted to ask you about the third offensive lineman in the draft class. We've all seen you and Danny on the field.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Julian?
Julian's really good, and he's very, very quick. I mean, a lot of guys talk about how fast I am, but I think Julian might be a little bit underrated in the fact that I think he's a very good athlete. He's a little bit shorter, but he's very compact. He's very solid. He does a good job of anchoring. Does a good job of run blocking, and I'm excited to see where he goes in the future.
You know, we've now had three steals for the Eagles from Cincinnati in the middle rounds. Brent Celek, Trent Cole, and you. Anybody we should have our eye on in the upcoming draft
class? You know, the problem with this upcoming draft class is most of the guys are well-known that are really, really good, because Derek Wolfe will probably go pretty high, and so will Isaiah Pede, the running back. You know, Alex Hoffman is a guy I played next to for a couple years in Cincinnati, and he's probably the most underrated guy that I think is going to end up making an NFL career for himself.
Guard?
Guard and tackle. He's a swing guy.
Okay. And then finally, going into this last game, you know, some people are questioning what the motivation is for you guys. Just talk about the mindset. You know, every time you step on the field, obviously there's a lot to play for, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time you step on the field, you're playing for, regardless of whether it's playoffs or not, you're playing for one thing, and that's pride. I mean, every time you step on the field, you play to earn the respect of the guy across from you. You want to beat him so that at the end of the day, he knows that you beat him man to man.
Any plans for the offseason before you get back to work?
You know, I am going to go down to my uncle. He lives down in Florida. We're going to go fishing. But other than that, I really don't have anything planned out.
All right. Well, we certainly look forward to seeing what this team looks like next season and how you guys get better in the offseason. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. Back with more on the other side right here on Eagles Nightly.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Hey fans, Todd Herrmann's here. First off, on behalf of the team, I would like to thank you all for your continuous support and bringing it every week we play in the link. Also, I'm wishing you and yours a happy and safe new year.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Hey fans, this is Namdi Asomugha. Just want to thank you for coming out and supporting us. Have a happy new year.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Very excited to bring back onto the show Ray from Kentucky, calling in here to Eagles Live. Ray, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Chris, or good afternoon, in your case.
It's all good.
Hey, I want to throw out a scenario there. I mean, I know all the scenarios are gone, but what if the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants?
Fewer losses. I'm going to stop you.
Don't even ask.
Fewer losses.
They'd be 8-7-1, and we'd be 8-8.
Yeah.
So they would have a better record.
But we still win the division, right?
No. The Giants would win because they beat them head to head. So no,
okay.
No chance.
I was just wondering, because I thought if 8-7 and a tie, and we'd be 8-8. I thought we'd win the division.
No. Fewer losses. You would definitely want to have the tie.
Now,
that's like half a
Cowboys
win.
The Cowboys beat the Giants. And then they're found to have been cheating all season, and their wins are retroactively taken away before the start of the playoffs. That would be it.
That's the only scenario the Eagles have. So, unfortunately.
Well, I just wondered, I woke up this morning kind of thinking, I was wondering what if, you know, that game had ended in a tie.
Yeah, no such luck, unfortunately.
No, because that's how the Eagles got into the playoffs back in 2008, because they were 9-6-1. And every other team was 9-7. That tie against Cincinnati, as ugly and as despicable as that game was, That actually saved the Eagles' season. Shane Graham's miss in overtime.
Never even knew that was a thing.
Allowed the Eagles to get into the postseason. Believe it or not.
All right, Ray. Well, do you have
a... give my prediction. Y'all taking predictions?
Of course.
Yeah, let's take predictions.
Of course.
I'm going to say 27-10 Eagles.
27-10. Right. Ray, you're
thanks,
in the books.
Thanks for your support this year, Ray.
Definitely. Have a happy new year. We'll talk to you down the line, okay?
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Not a problem at all, Ray.
All right. News from the practice field.
Yes.
The LeSean McCoy, cut on dime, 25. He is at practicing today, on pace to play on Sunday. Give his shot at the rushing record and continue to put his name into the Eagles record books. Now, we talked to LeSean McCoy in the locker room following yesterday's practice and wondered why it is that he wants to play so bad, even though this season it will not end in the playoffs. Shady said, still plenty to play for.
Offensive standpoint, the turnovers are going to be the Achilles heel. What do you make of that? Why did this team turn the ball over 36 times? You didn't have much to do with it.
Just it's hard to really answer that. I mean, why? I don't know why. I just know turnovers kind of really cost us our season. Some points of the season, I felt like we had control over it. And then it kind of happened again. So it's hard to really say why it happened. I'm sure if he could control it, we wouldn't let it happen. We wouldn't. So it's hard to say what really caused it.
Part of the motivation, too, is that you know that this team will never be exactly the same. After this season, there's always changes of some kind, like even if the main parts are back. I mean, is that motivation enough just to go out and play with all the...
Yeah, it definitely is. It's like in the course of a season, man, you kind of find a bond between the different players. And you go through, like, hard times together, and you celebrate all the good times together. So I think going out, as one team, man, it would be good for everybody. That's kind of the goal, is just go out and playing ball together.
You've commented on this before, but there's been a lot of talk about the coaching staff and maybe that Andy's not here next year. How as players do you react to that, and what is your take?
I feel like he's going to be here, so we never really paid any attention. That's more the outside looking in, fans, certain media. We don't look into that. We feel like our coach will be here. We have a lot of trust in him, a lot of faith in him, so. We don't pay any attention.
Is it important for you guys? Do you think it's important for you guys to win this game, to keep that going?
Just to make
sure they're here.
Well, like I told you before, we don't really focus on that. We feel like he's going to be here. So we want to just win the game because it's a football game. It's a division game. And you're playing the game, so why not try to win the game? Go 5-1 in the division.
We have our head of research, Bo Wolf, here. He's going to be looking up some fine info to create a trivia question, because we still have two great autographed prizes as part of our fan appreciation week here with the Philadelphia Eagles that we want to give out to fans before the end of today's show. Now, fan appreciation week also lives online at philadelphiaeagles.com/fans, where we have a sweepstakes where if you sign up, we're giving away great autographed prizes and a whole lot more right there. And then Sunday, if you're attending the game, there'll be a lot of stuff given away throughout the course of the game inside the stadium. So make sure that you're there. It's a 1 p.m. start. Now, for us here at philadelphia.com, we're going to be live with the kickoff show beginning at 12:30 p.m. We'll take you right until kickoff, and then you can hear Merrill and Mike, the live broadcast on 94 WIP, right on our website. We'll give you the halftime report where safety Wes Hopkins, an all-pro and former Pro Bowl safety back in 1985, one of the all-time interceptions leaders in franchise history with 30. He will be honored at halftime. And then Dave Spadaro and Ike Reese will bring you the postgame show presented by Rico after the Eagles beat the Redskins and get to 8-8 on the season. Now, during the game, we're not only going to beat the Redskins on the field, but we also have our social showdown. Make sure you check out philadelphiaeagles.com/social showdown, where if you use the hashtag #BeatRedskins, it will show up on our social showdown page. And make sure to like us on this page. We hope to get more likes than the Redskins during the course of the game.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. JR from Chicago. JR, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to wish y'all a happy new year.
Same to you, JR.
Same to you, JR.
And also, man, my prediction is 24-14 Birds. I think we're going to go ahead and pull that one off.
You're in the books?
Also, I like the continuity and the energy that we're closing this year out with. I think we definitely have something to build on for next season. You know, all the rumors about Juan, and I think we need to squash that. I think his team improved over the year. It's now showing. You know, I think we got a great coaching staff. You know, personnel, can we afford to make some changes? Absolutely. But for the most part, I like what we have here, and I think we're going to have a great next season. I'm looking forward to it.
No, I think all Eagles fans are very pleased at what they've seen over the last couple weeks. They've come against some good teams. You know, this defense, I understand Tony Romo was knocked out of the game, but there are so many weapons on that Dallas offense. Both times the Eagles play the Cowboys, they clamped them down and only gave up 14 points in those two games combined. You have a New York Jets team that was playing for the playoffs, you know, still trying to get in. They were actually in control of their own destiny at that point. So the defense has come alive. The guys have, you know, they've bought into Juan's system. He's done a much better job with the play calling, finding creative ways to utilize the guys. So, you know, it definitely has been interesting to see the growth of the defense from the beginning of the season to where it is right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And please tell me y'all have some more autograph balls or jersey left. I actually grew up in Cincinnati, so if Janice don't call back, I will take the Rick Celek jersey. You know, I see she's been probably trying to get through, but I did grow up there. So if she don't call back, I would like to have a jersey or football. So please tell me you got something.
JR, I got a question for you, all right? I'm going to ask you a pretty easy trivia question. Now, the question is, would you rather play for the LeSean McCoy signed football or the Michael Vick signed helmet?
Give me the helmet.
All right. The question is, name two members of the current Eagles practice squad.
You know what? Wow. I feel kind of stumped on that one.
We got to push on the clock here.
I feel bad.
Man. You know what you got, man. I'm stumped.
You deserve something,
I'm absolutely stumped.
What else do we got? We got anything else to give away? Well, how about the Namdi? The Namdi ball.
Here's what we'll do. We'll do this for JR. Whatever Janice doesn't take, whether it's the Celek jersey or the Namdi ball, we'll get to you, okay?
Gotcha.
We'll do that. Hold on, JR. Colin's gonna take your information and we'll work something out. We'll get him something there in the mail. So
okay.
One way or another, JR's coming out with a prize. We don't want to leave fans disappointed.
You know, it's easier in my mind than it's a tough question. I'm sorry.
It's funny because
there's been so much turnover.
There's been a lot of turnover. It took me a second.
Stanley Havili.
Yeah. He's the mainstay on there. But it's not like, you know, it's like him and Dallas Reynolds are two of the mainstays.
Zane Taylor.
It's guys who have been mixed into the roster throughout the course of the season.
Rojo's been here for a while.
Mo Fountain,
yeah.
Exactly.
Jamel Hamler.
Yeah. So the diehard of the diehard fans aren't going to know who these practice squad guys are.
That's true.
We talked about, Ray from Kentucky had asked a question about the result of the Cowboys-Giants game. And are you watching the game Sunday night?
I guess I'll watch it. It doesn't really matter to me. I hate both those teams so much that I don't really care who goes. I hope they both lose. But who was it? Was it Max who explained to us why it would be a little bit better for the Cowboys to win? You know what? You know who was?
Got an article, I think.
Hat tip to Jimmy Kemsky, who's a friend of the show, been on the show several times.
Blogging the Beast.
The reason that it helps the Eagles draft pick ever so slightly if the Cowboys beat the Giants.
Because of strength of schedule.
Because we will finish with the same record if we win as whoever the loser of the Cowboys-Giants is. And the tiebreaker for draft position for tied records is strength of schedule. And we would have a slightly easier strength of schedule than
giving
the Giants.
Giving you the better pick.
Giving us the better pick. So that's the reason. Hat tip to Jimmy Kemp.
Yeah, that's the only factor into it. I think about which fans are going to be more obnoxious in the offseason. And I actually think Giants fans would be more obnoxious.
And we beat the Cowboys twice, so you
exactly
can always hold that over them.
Exactly. So I I'm not saying that I want the Cowboys to win a division because I sure don't want them to go to the playoffs. But I think in my mind, if I have to deal with the entire offseason, oh, we got to the playoffs, you didn't.
Yeah.
I think that would be the team that ever so slightly
I'll pull for the Cowboys, but not really pull for it, just root harder against the Giants.
Yeah. You just hope that they beat each other up so that whoever they play, whether it's Detroit or Atlanta, just smokes them.
Yeah.
The first one. Is that locked in, who the 5 seed is, or is that
no,
still?
No, they're still playing for it, I think.
They're still playing for that?
Because Atlanta lost.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's, what do you think, take a break? Go to Joe Dolan?
Actually, we've been talking about earlier in the show about what we think the secondary could look like.
Okay.
In 2012, you know, Nnamdi, we figure, is a fixture at right cornerback. Left cornerback, we might be seeing our guy for next season, depending on what the team does with Asante Samuel. Still under contract, you know, but could be a guy that the team might want to part ways with this offseason, potentially. Well, you got Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, the former first-round pick out of Arizona, traded here in the Kevin Cobb draft, which netted the Eagles an additional second-round pick for the upcoming draft. Played brilliantly last week against Dallas. Is very good on the outside. He's tall. He's athletic. Would be a very good fit here for Juan's defense, for what he wants to do with his corners there. Let's go into the locker room where John Dornbos, magician, funny man, Pro Bowl long snapper, had a chance to get to know Dominique just a little bit better. And let's learn a little bit more about the man who will most likely start for the Eagles this Sunday at cornerback and very well could be your starting left cornerback in the 2012 season, one Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
What's up, guys? This is John Dornbos. Welcome back to the Player Show. We got J-Mac. Now, Kurt Coleman thinks he's going to be a better host than me, so we're going to let him take this over with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. Here it is. And hey, this is going to be ghetto style. Hold this.
I don't even need that. This is the first Tennessee State player to ever come out in the NFL and do what he does. You know, he's been to a Super Bowl, been to a Pro Bowl.
He's the fastest man on the field, ladies and gentlemen. This is where you get your money's worth, watching him. This is pay-per-view. For free.
Hold on, what are we doing, a commercial or are we doing an interview? This is ridiculous.
I'm selling him. I'm selling the hype because this is not just hype, all right? I'm selling the actual man, Jet. This is what everyone needs to know. This is the best guy on the field out there and the best person to get off the field.
Wow. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got to turn my alarm off in case I was asleep. I got to wake up. God, that was aggressive.
That was a little aggressive.
That was so aggressive, I got to reattach my mic. No, but for real, I actually learned something about you. I'm having like my blindside moment with Big Mike. You don't like being called DRC. Is this true or is this false?
That's true. That's very true.
So you like to go by?
Jit.
Now, Jit is because?
Like legit. Legitimate.
Because he's legit. But here's what I heard you're legit with.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard you're an all-pro breakdancer. That if you weren't playing football, you actually claim to be the best breakdancer in the world.
Nah. I got a few little dances in me, you know.
That's my turntable. That's
yes,
it?
Sir.
Break it down. Break it down. Let's see what you got.
Okay, you know, say if I do something and I do get a celebration, you know, I do got a few little dances that I made up on my own. I like to call my own. You know, I got the jit drop. Anytime I come in, put your feet together. You got to put your hands up. That's the jit drop right there. You know, that's y'all can use that at time. You know, also, if I come in, I break up a pass. I'm just getting off the ground. You got to slide up into it. And it's all shoulder movement. That's when I was a receiver. That was my first down dance. Every time I get up,
I like it.
Nah. Just so happen, if I do get a sack, if I ever get a sack, you know, it's kind of hard coming from the corner, but if I ever do it, I run to it, I get my shovel, dig it in the dirt, kick it down there, scoop it out of there.
All right, now give it to me full. I'm the quarterback. Oh, I'm the quarterback. I'm down.
Get him out of here.
I love it. Yes, now, one thing that hydrates and replenishes an athlete is food. And the one thing that you said that if you could eat your entire life every single second of the day, you would eat nothing but
McDonald's.
Nothing
but. But oh, you want to know my favorite food?
Well, this is like your bio. I thought you'd get that question right.
You want the bologna? What they got down for me?
I got spaghetti here.
That's my favorite food.
Oh, okay, but you wouldn't eat it all the time. So you'd rather eat bologna every day?
Every day.
Than spaghetti?
Yes, sir.
This is absolutely disgusting. Hey, so you can dance. You can munch down on spaghetti, McDonald's, and bologna.
Yes, sir.
I'll go back to the fact that you're probably the greatest breakdancer in the world. And then your saying that you like to go by, or your favorite saying, is 4-5, get live. No, what is this?
That was my college. You know, every time somebody, I used to walk around campus, nobody really knew my name. They used to be like, hey, 4-5. I just turn around, get live. That's what they call it. Every time I'm on the field, I'm live. I'm always doing something, dancing when we're in practice. It's never a dull moment. But I was 4-5 in college, 4-5, get live. In Arizona, you know, I was 2-9, Showtime 2-9. Now I'm ooh wee 2-3.
You're what?
Ooh wee 2-3.
Ooh wee!
2-3! Yes, sir. That's how you do it right there.
All right, two things. One, your cousin plays ball.
Yes, sir.
And is he a Florida or Florida State guy?
Florida State.
And was he, what round was he drafted in?
First.
What round were you drafted in?
First.
Who went higher?
I did.
Oh! Dominique Rogers Camardi, man. Thanks for coming. Peace out. It's the Player Show.
Hey, y'all be easy.
Drop it for us. What is it? It's here?
Yes, sir.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hey Eagles fan, it's Dominique Rogers Cromartie, and I want to thank you for your support and have a happy holidays.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Pa, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble. And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
Welcome back to Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and it's very, very sad to say that this is our final fantasy spin segment of the year with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. Have you counted how many people you've carried to a championship this year, Joe?
No. I'm hoping I didn't cost people championships, but I would think, I think we had a pretty good year overall, Chris, wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely, Joe. And let's start handing out some hardware, some awards for this season. And some Eagles had some outstanding fantasy seasons. LeSean McCoy, obviously the preeminent running back in all of the National Football League. But let's look overall at your offensive player of the year. Who would you give that award to?
Chris, I've got to give it to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, the unfortunate thing with Rodgers is his first truly down game of the entire fantasy season came in Week 15, and people really needed to use him that week. It was either their championship game or their semifinals or their quarterfinals, but it stunk that that was when his first down game came, but he rebounded last week, and it was a good thing that he actually ended up playing last week because that game could have been meaningless if the 49ers had lost to the Seahawks. He ended up throwing 5 touchdown passes in what amounts to usually the championship week in Week 16, so it was It was an unbelievable season for Aaron Rodgers. He's clearly established himself as the best quarterback in the NFL, and he's become the most consistent fantasy quarterback that you could possibly own. This guy, we had him at number one at quarterback. We had him over Michael Vick, and he actually came through for us, and he's going to win the NFL MVP, and as close as Drew Brees was to winning this award, his consistency, Rodgers just had him by a little bit. That's why I'm giving that award to Rodgers.
All right, Joe, let's stay at quarterback where we go with the rookie of the year, and this has to be about as easy a decision as you've got. Now, respect to A.J. Green, I guess, but this one's a blowout, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Cam Newton had the greatest rookie season in NFL history. I mean, let's be serious here. He broke Peyton Manning's passing yardage record. He scored double-digit rushing touchdowns, and while that didn't make Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams owners happy, Cam Newton has established himself as, in my opinion, and I'm sure we'll cover this a little bit later in the segment, he has established himself as the greatest possible keeper value I think I've ever seen, especially if you get if you can keep a player for the draft pick to use them on. If you took a recommendation we made earlier in the year and drafted Cam Newton with one of your last two or three picks, you are golden if you head into a keeper league next year with him.
Cam Newton was not the only breakout player in fantasy football this season, Joe. There were some big-time players coming out of the tight end position, especially. Talk about some of those breakout players here in 2011.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything spectacular when I tell you that Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski might have had two of the best seasons that tight ends ever put together. Statistically, Gronkowski might have the best season. He scored more touchdowns in a single season than any tight end ever, and that's pretty special. But I do want to focus on Jimmy Graham a little bit as well. You know, at fantasyguru.com, we usually like to say that touchdowns are fickle sometimes when you're not counting on a quarterback to throw them, because if a guy gets tackled at the one, he loses a touchdown. If a guy gets tackled inside the 10, he loses a touchdown if he puts in another running back or another receiving option. So that's why Jimmy Graham actually kind of intrigued me a little bit more. This is a guy who played 1 year of college football at Miami. He caught, I believe, six passes in college. And now he's a 90-catch, 1,200-yard receiving, 10-touchdown tight end in his second year in the NFL. That is unprecedented. So if I was going to take a tight end and I had to choose between keeping Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski, I would actually think I'd lean to Jimmy Graham. But at this point, I think either of these two guys, major, major studs for the future, they've redefined the tight end position. And given what those two have done, it puts offenses ahead of defenses, because defenses don't have the type of athletic freaks that you need to cover these type of players.
All right, Joe, let's look at the negatives now. The biggest busts this year, I think I know one of them, but let's hear what you got.
Yeah, well, Chris Johnson obviously has got to be a major bust. And the problem with Chris Johnson was is everybody was off the bandwagon when he still had the holdout, he stole the contract scenario. He signs before the season. He signs in time to get himself into the lineup for week one. And he just never got it going. He didn't invite contact. He only had a few big games. And if you took Chris Johnson in the first round, that simply was not good enough. I put this season on Chris Johnson. Number two, unfortunately, this guy was a bust because I think he looked pretty darn good, and that's Rashard Mendenhall. Going into this year, there is no way I would have thought, if you told me Rashard Mendenhall would stay healthy for most of the year, he would only miss a game or two with an injury, there was no way you could have convinced me that Reggie Bush would have more carries than Rashard Mendenhall. Well, he did. The Steelers developed into a passing team. Bruce Arians loves throwing the football. He loves putting the ball on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders. So Rashard Mendenhall, despite having pretty much the same rate statistics as last year, the same yards per carry, close to the same in touchdown rate, he just didn't get the carries. He said he has over 100 fewer than last year, so he did not come through in the way fantasy owners hoped that they took him in the middle to even the top of the first round.
Joe, every year there are players who excel 1 year, and you expect them to be drafted high the next season, and then they'll disappoint you. Who are some of those guys who were breakout stars or, you know, very good players late here in 2011 that fantasy owners are going to jump a little too quickly at in 2012?
I've got three names at the running back position that I came up with here. Number one is DeMarco Murray. And DeMarco Murray came out and he set the world on fire. I believe in his first start, he ran for over 200 yards. which was fantastic performance from him. But that said, I wasn't totally intrigued by his ability. I don't think he has a second gear. And when you watch him in comparison to Felix Jones, you look at Felix Jones and you're like, well, this guy's a far superior back. But Murray just managed to grind it out. They managed to put a sustaining run game on the field with him. But now he's got the injury, and I just tend to think he's probably going to go a little bit too high for my taste next year. Roy Helu is kind of in the same department, and the reason I say Roy Helu is he's a guy who needs to get into space to build up his burst, to build up his speed, to get put in a position to succeed. And while Mike Shanahan's scheme can do that, as we saw, a lot of running backs can succeed in Mike Shanahan's scheme. The Redskins had four different running backs run for over 100 yards in a game this year. They had Tim Hightower, who got hurt, Ryan Tulane, who just got cut, Helu, and even Evan Royster, who started the year on the practice squad. He ended up running for 100 yards last week in his first career start. This is just a backfield, an offensive scheme where running backs are put in a position to succeed. I just don't know if I can trust Roy Helu to get the full workload of carries next year. And this guy, I'm going to be right on him 1 year, and I think next year might be right. I think Michael Turner is going to be drafted a little bit too high. It seems to me that he's slowing down. He's approaching 30. He doesn't contribute in the passing game. And at the end of the year, Atlanta started to uncork the no-huddle offense. They started to let Matt Ryan get out, put up his numbers, run the offense in a way that he was comfortable with. With Roddy White, with Julio Jones, I don't know if Tony Gonzalez will be back, but with those weapons, and now they have Jacquizz Rodgers and even Jason Snelling in that backfield, I would think Michael Turner is going to become closer to an ancillary part of this offense rather than the weapon that the Falcons lean on when they need to win a game.
Joe, I want to ask you about the wide receiver position. It's always such a fickle position. You'll always have guys like Brandon Lloyd or Victor Cruz this year just jumping out of nowhere. Is there anybody you think that's keeper-worthy, keeping in mind that it's such a up-and-down position?
You know, one of the things that I am going to focus on is just, like you said, a little bit deeper down the charts, because I think this seems to be the position where the deeper guys tend to emerge the most. We saw Victor Cruz, as you mentioned, this year. I like Denarius Moore in Oakland, and he's been hurt for most of the year, but it was clear when the Oakland Raiders got Carson Palmer that he took a liking to this guy, that he really looked like somebody could be special in the future. The Raiders have guys with top-end speed in Moore, Jacoby Ford, and Darius Heyward-Bey. And with the exception of Ford, who got hurt and hasn't played really a whole lot since Carson Palmer came over in a Raiders uniform, these guys all had a big-time breakout season. Darius Heyward-Bey at times this year looked like a superstar. But I think Denarius Moore, he's the guy that when he's out there, he seems to have Carson Palmer's trust. He is one of those guys that I would keep an eye on next year, because I wouldn't be surprised if he had a breakout year almost in the way like an Antonio Brown or a Victor Cruz had, because he's got that kind of ability.
Joe, staying on the topic of keepers, you know, there's some obvious ones at the running back position. You could talk to LeSean McCoy right here in Philadelphia, but who are some maybe under-the-radar possible keeper options that fantasy owners might want to look at before making the final determination on their rosters for next season?
You know, obviously, Denarius Moore is one that I want to hit on. At the running back position, I don't know about under the radar, but I think Ryan Matthews showed this year that the kind of ability that made him a high first-round draft pick. He gets to the edge really well. He can catch the ball. He can move around. He hits the hole, and he's very quick in the hole in short yardage situations. So he's the type of back who has what we call a complete skill set. He can become a 250-carry 1,200-yard back so long as he stays on the field and keeps control of the football. Those two things are still questions with him, but at least we finally saw the ability from Ryan Matthews that made us so high on him when he was a rookie last year. Marshawn Lynch is another guy who had perhaps the best in-season turnaround I have ever seen from a running back. Through the first 5 weeks of the season, he looked like Marshawn Lynch from last year, a guy who would get 15 carries, run for 45 yards, and you hope he gets you a touchdown. But he really took a liking to Tom Cable's blocking scheme, and he used it to run more violently than I have ever seen anybody run in NFL history, really. This guy just invites contact, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And if you're in a dynasty league, two guys I want to keep an eye on at the tight end position outside of Graham and Gronkowski are Kyle Rudolph of the Minnesota Vikings, who started to play more snaps towards the end of the year than Vasante Shanko. Shanko's an impending free agent, and Rudolph became kind of a little bit of a security blanket for Christian Ponder. He hasn't put up big numbers, but I tend to think that next year he can be the type of player who catches 50 to 60 balls, scores you 8 to 10 touchdowns, could become a nice value at the tight end position. And Jermaine Gresham, so long as Andy Dalton can continue moving forward and progressing as an NFL quarterback, he could be the number two weapon in that passing offense behind A.J. Green. He has high-end physical ability for a tight end. And for a guy like Dalton, who doesn't have the arm strength to throw outside the numbers with consistency, I think a guy like Gresham in between the numbers, he could be a big-time player for them in the very near future.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Dolan. What a season, Joe. Joe, what do you guys got going on at FantasyGuru.com in the offseason? What can we look for?
Well, obviously, we're going to do what we do for the playoffs. We're just going to do the same exact thing in case you play in fantasy football leagues in the postseason where you draft a team. Or there's so many different ways you can play in the playoffs, so we just kind of do what we do. And then after that, we cool down for a little bit, and then we get prepared for the draft. And obviously, this is going to be a big-time draft for skill position players, especially at the high-end quarterback, at the quarterback position with Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, potentially Landry Jones. This is going to be a really interesting draft, and that's what we prepare for. And fortunately, we have a full offseason, so free agency coming around in March, we'll be able to kind of break down and let those moves simmer before we start ranking the players come the middle of the summer.
You can follow Joe on Twitter at FG_Dolan. Joe, thanks so much for all the fantasy advice this season.
Thank you both. Thank you, C-Mac, and I hope you guys did all right in your own leagues.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. Back with more on the other side right here on Eagles Live.
Papa John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Grossman in the shotgun, and also Cooley, who makes the catch, and he is belted down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a two-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Before we go back to the phone lines, it is time, one last one, for the 2011 season. And you take it away. You do the introduction much better than I do.
Well, C-Mac, this is the 16th one. Going for a perfect 16-0 record. I don't even know if that's true. I have no idea what the record is.
We have not kept tabs at all.
It is sweeping the nation. Time to get out your notepads at home. I know you wrote it down. It's time for the inactive game. This is a very difficult one. The final game of the season. Let's see what we got. Flash it on up there.
All right.
From Chris.
Now, let's see. I'm going with that the Eagles will sign someone to the active roster. There's still an open spot after Kirk Cuomo's placed on injured reserve. I think that person will be inactive. And with the young guys, I think Parker, I think Graham gets some snaps. You want to get him going, get him in a good frame of mind for 2012. Defensive tackle Trevor Law has been battling the knee tendonitis. Maybe Thornton, I think, might get some snaps. He's a guy that I could see being utilized here in this last game of the season from the young player perspective. But by and large, and I'm really basing this off what they did back in 2007. It was the regular season finale. It was the Eagles' last game of the season against the Bills. Similar scenario. I think they won their last three games that year to get to 8-8 on the year. They had Kevin Cobb as a rookie. They had Victor Aubameyri as a rookie. These guys have not really played at all. Why not give them a chance? The Eagles wanted to go and win the football game. That they really looked at the game in a vacuum and said, we're trying to get this victory. Guys aren't ready. They're not going to play. And I see them using the same mindset because
they didn't play Aubameyri.
No, those guys.
Or you have them playing Thornton.
I'm going with, I think at this point, though, I did contradict myself there. I'll admit to that. But at the same time, I think they'd rather see what they have from him, who I think is healthy and can produce, versus Laws, who's battling an injury.
And he's going to be a free agent.
And he's going to be a free agent, too. Yes. So, I'd be lying if I didn't factor that into the equation.
The only difference is I have Thornton down. I would like to see Thornton play. I would like to see what he's got. Looking forward to seeing that if it happens. But have him down for Laws, although I wouldn't be surprised if Laws is down, even though he's practiced all week. But 2 weeks in a row being inactive, wouldn't be surprised. And then I've got Graham down again. I just don't think the knee is quite back yet. He's been inactive the last few weeks, and I think my guess is he will be again. And Laws and Parker get sort of a swan song before they go out into free agency pasture.
And then, and with that, you'll most likely be 16-0. We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll never know.
Maybe we can go back in time. We'll make Max rewatch all the Eagles' lives to tabulate the inactives.
That's good. I like that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jim from South Carolina. Jim, how's it going? I got an important question for you.
Okay, I'm doing good, Bo. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Jim, great to hear from you.
Would you rather? Would you rather play for the LeSean McCoy signed football or the Michael Vick signed helmet?
Oh, I'd go with the Michael Vick helmet, but it's a moot point. I'm not going to know your answer.
I think you're going to know.
Don't be
Michael Vick.
We're feeling in a giving mood today. The question is, where did Michael Vick go to college?
Virginia Tech.
All right! Look at that! Jim from South Carolina.
Man.
Has won himself.
Here it
is. Let's see the prize in all its glory.
Here you go, Jim.
There it is.
Oh, man.
There you go.
I'm speechless. I called up to tell you, thanks for all you do, and I was going to send you an autographed Nerf football or an old T-shirt out of the drawer to show our appreciation.
All right, we'll make the trade. We'll make the trade.
Okay.
Hey, wait. Is it the Nerf one with the whistle on it?
No, man, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
Well, no. I mean, don't disrespect us.
Exactly.
Okay. But anyway, we do appreciate all that you guys do, and that's the biggest reason I call, is just tell you guys thanks for doing what you do. You and Max and Bo and Dave and the rest of the web team, we're going to miss you guys the offseason.
We'll still be around.
I know,
but not every day.
Maybe bring back rapid fire.
Yeah. Ooh.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
We'll go for the classics
We'll have plenty of off-season programming to get you through the doldrums of the off-season. But
thank
you very much for calling.
Yeah, it's going to be depressing at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Nothing that will like be it. The case. Yep. That will be true.
I'll have to go to the honeydew list and start actually working around the house.
We'll have to find something for you to end up doing there.
Okay.
We'll get you on like draft research first or something, Jim.
Yeah, I can do that.
So,
prediction, 21-3.
21-3, Jim, you're in the books. Hold on to the phone line here. Colin's going to take your phone call. And, Jim, it's great to hear from you.
You too. Have a happy new year, guys.
Same to you, Jim.
Thanks.
Let's take a peek into the NovaCare Complex auditorium. I will not ask Tim to pan the camera to embarrass all the members of the media who are in there, unlike Tim was doing to us yesterday. That's fine, though. Nonetheless, the reporters are starting to make their way into the auditorium, so that should signal that we'll hear from the coach pretty shortly here, I would imagine. Again, LeSean McCoy practicing. He expects to play, intends to play. It'll be interesting to see what role that he has come this Sunday. Of course, he's still in the battle for the rushing title with Maurice Jones-Drew, even though McCoy trails by over 100 yards. And it would take a career day. He would have to get over 200 yards. I believe he would have to break Steve Van Buren's record of most rushing yards in a single game to catch Wilbert Montgomery for the single-season franchise record of most rushing yards. But not out of the realm of possibility if he's going to be out there on the field. Asante Samuel, there's been no official indication, but I am going to assume that he's not practicing and that he's not playing.
Asante Samuel
is not playing out there on the field. So it looks like Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie will make his second straight start there at the left cornerback position. But really, outside of that, I mean, I think Coach Reed is going to preach about the importance of finishing strong, of trying to make sure you get that eighth win of the season. Anything else that you're looking forward to from the coach?
If they're
going
to sign a guy, would like to know that so we can update it on the site.
So we're not waiting. It'll be Saturday morning at
exactly
10 a.m.
LeSean McCoy, I want to know what he says about him, but I think it's pretty safe to say that he's going to play. I'm not sure what else we can glean from Andy, but make sure you guys we still got one LeSean McCoy football to give away. So somebody call in and answer an easy trivia question. We're begging to give it away. So somebody call up and hook us up with that while we think of more animal names for Eagles football players like Toad Harriman's.
No, you've already spent weeks on that, Bo. Might be your best project, your best work all season.
My favorite thing to do, Riley Grouper. Jason Baboon.
See, now you're stealing everyone else's work now.
I know. You're Riley Grouper was Max, credit. And Jason Baboon was... was that you, Sam? That was Sam. It all started, though. It all started with my Toad Harriman's. So I'm going to give myself credit for that. Asante Samuel, Michael Tick.
And folks can tell that it is week 17 of the 2011 season.
Trent Mole, that's one of my favorites. You have the dual wide receivers... Deshaun Quaxon and Jeremy Quacklin. what else? Nothing? Oh, yeah. This one's a little bit of a stretch, but Fran likes it. Dominic Rhino Cromartie. And with that, we go to Jose in Georgia. Jose.
Thank goodness, Jose. Thank you for saving me.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's going on?
We're here just wishing you guys a happy new year, happy holidays, and... thanks a lot for all you guys do over there. You guys are like you, Dave, and all them the few websites there of NFL that does this sort of stuff.
We appreciate that.
Jose, you're not saying this because Jim said it and got Michael Vick signed helmet, are you?
Oh no, I just called right now. I just got from work right now.
Oh, you just got home from
work?
You
know what? Even if you're doing it that way, I respect your game.
Exactly.
I like what you're bringing to the table. How would you like a LeSean McCoy signed football? It's our last prize of the day.
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing.
You have to answer an easy trivia question first.
All right. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Wow. In what round of the NFL draft was LeSean McCoy drafted in?
Oh God.
It's not the first round.
It wasn't the third round.
It's not the third round.
It's in between.
Second round.
Kevin Kyle. Yeah, second round. All right. Jose, nice work. Well, I don't know if I should say nice work, but work done indeed. Congratulations. Thanks for the kind words.
Oh,
Thanks for all the support.
I'm a huge fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm a super fan. I hope for better things next year, and I'm happy for the guys going to the Pro Bowl. And I'm just going to wait. Bright future next year.
All right, thank you, Jose. Stay on the line so you can give your information to our magician, Colin, over here. And he can send your prize in the mail.
Happy New Year.
Hopefully we'll get these prizes.
Happy New Year.
Colin's got a lot of pressure. It's going to be a lot of people.
A lot of pressure on Colin. I don't know if he can handle it.
I know. He might be saying if he's only got another week or so left here to work, then...
He's going to mail them all to himself.
Or just prolong it and procrastinate, and then all of a sudden, I'm not here anymore, and someone else will have to do it. So we can maybe hire someone, bring him in for just a little bit. Nonetheless, again, Eagles are playing the Redskins Sunday at 1 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. Look, we're not just giving away great prizes here on Eagles Live. We're also giving stuff away on the website. Go to philadelphiaeagles.com/fans to register in our fan appreciation sweepstakes. And then at the game on Sunday, we'll be giving out a number of tremendous prizes to people in the stadium. So definitely make sure to check that out. And we also have our social showdown between the Eagles and the Redskins. Good timing there, Ryan McCann, our producer. It's a new year, game on, and certainly the Eagles want to win on the football field, but in the social media landscape as well. Check out philadelphiaeagles.com/social showdown as the Eagles will be taking on the Redskins' Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts as well. If you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag #BeatRedskins throughout the course of the game, and also like our page. Find out more information at philadelphiaeagles.com/social showdown.
Say that five times fast.
I know. I'm surprised I've gotten through this show as many times saying it correctly. But nonetheless, we're going to hear from head coach Andy Reid in just a little bit here on Eagles Live. Again, we're going to get the injury updates and more. And before we get to Andy, we're going to take one last commercial break. So make sure you stay tuned right here to philadelphiaeagles.com. We're going to have the coach's press conference, and then we'll lay out our entire week of game day programming as our producer, Sam Hallowell, is dancing behind the camera, doing a marvelous job.
I have some quick breaking news, a text from Max Rappaport.
Ooh.
Trevor Paws and Nate Allen.
We'll be back with more here on Eagles Live.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown! A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Pa, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. NovaCareCompanyCareCareCompany.com. More reporters are making their way into the NovaCare Complex Auditorium. Our game day coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com begins with the kickoff show Sunday at 12:30 p.m. with Bo and myself. We'll have the entire game broadcast for you in audio, the stream from 94.1 WIP, Merrill Reese and Mike Quick, and then the postgame show afterwards with Dave Spadaro and Ike Reese.
I'm looking forward to the halftime show.
Yes. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Wes Hopkins seeing what he has to say. Obviously a great Eagle, all-pro safety. So make sure you watch that as well, halftime report. Right here live on the website. We'll carry what he says.
He is the one star. I mean, there were some dark days there during the 80s when he played, but he was the one superstar that the defense had. And then, you know, an outstanding career. Again, a former Pro Bowl and All-Pro selection. He was also very consistent. I believe he had pretty much a couple interceptions every single season, finished with 30 in his career, played his entire career here in Philadelphia. So that's something that it's something to be proud of. I know there's a lot of players like to be able to say that they played their entire career in one city. So certainly it would be great to hear from there. And practice looks like is just about wrapped up here. All the reporters are making their way into the NovaCare Complex Auditorium. We have Dave Spadaro, Eagles insider there, waiting to hear what the coach has to say. And one last look at the guys who could be playing their last game as a Philadelphia Eagle come this Sunday. Of course, I would expect the Eagles to sign some of these players back to the team next year, but there are 12 players that will become free agents this offseason. Of the 12, only one of them, defensive tackle Antonio Dixon, is a restricted free agent. Of course, he's on injured reserve with the torn triceps injury. He's working hard to make his way back, and he'll be a pivotal piece of the defensive tackle rotation next season. Of those guys, though, you know, there's DeSean Jackson is going to be the one that everyone's going to be looking to in terms of, is he the guy that gets the franchise tag or not? Quite honestly, I don't know any other player on that list that I would potentially use the franchise tag on.
No, certainly not.
In that case. So, but a couple other key players, Evan Mathis, Derek Landry, King Dunlap. You know, I forget, was it Lee from Fort Lauderdale who kind of threw out the, is there any chance Steve Smith would be back in the Eagles uniform?
Yeah,
it was
an early caller. I think he was just saying that there's going to be some trimming at the wide receiver position. And I would be surprised if Steve Smith is back, obviously. But, you know, the big story of the offseason, free agent-wise, as important as Evan Mathis has been and some of those other guys, obviously the big story is going to be DeSean Jackson. What happens with him? Do the Eagles franchise him? Do they sign him? Do they let him go? Do they trade him? A lot of options there, and it'll be interesting. And as you see, Andy Reid going to the podium. Now, before we let it go, I got to say, I know this is for Tim, Jaquan Parrott. And for the chatters, they're giving Max some. I got to give respect. The Eagles announcer, Merrill Geese.
All right. Injuries. Sante, we're going to list as out and with a hamstring strain. Everybody else practiced today and is ready to go. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Washington Redskins, NFC East rival. Always a good game, and again we like inviting them into Lincoln Financial Field in front of our crowd. Time's yours.
Good to go. You've seen him enough of him in practice this week.
Doing good.
Limited a little bit. I mean, as far
we
as
we have him down as questionable. He's able to take the reps today, so.
But.
Yeah.
And earlier this week, you mentioned the idea of having a full offseason to work with Mike as the starter, starting at quarterback. What is it that you think, what are the biggest things, I guess, that you think you can help him with or that can benefit him going into next year?
Well, what we'll do is we'll break all of that down at the end of the season, and then we'll be able to present it to him, and I'm not going to get into all that now, but my point was that he, you know, and not an excuse, it's a reality that he hasn't had an offseason with us. I kind of look forward to that and breaking everything down and being able to give him an opportunity to even take his game to another level.
Is it fair to
Mike's numbers don't necessarily suggest, if you look at him on the whole, don't necessarily suggest some of the improvements that he's made, you know, against blitzing defenses and recognition and pre-snap.
Well, that's what you've seen. You've seen how he's grown in this offense against the blitz. I think there's been great improvement this year, seeing things, changing things at the line and making the throws and the tight hole, knowing, trusting and knowing the receivers better, just having time to work with them more and than what he had when he came in last year. So
we all sit around and talk about who's going to be back, free agents, what your needs are. You know, fans do it, we do it. How do you not do it, or do you do some of that kind of looking ahead, or are you, I mean,
you know, I mean, what? You're so focused in. It takes so much time to do this the right way. And so if you stand in front of a team, the men that are part of the team and the coaches, and you're asking them to not let their minds wander one direction or the other and focus in on the Redskins, then you better be doing the same thing. And so that's where I'm at. And if you do it the right way, there's no time to think of anything else. You can't go beyond that, or putting yourself in a bad place and your team in a bad place. So that's how I approach it. It's that simple.
Sunday's game being, I guess, meaningless, for lack of a better word, did you take into consideration guys like Cedric Thornton and Greg Lloyd? This would be a really good opportunity to see whether these guys, and see what you have out of them for next year. Any chance that maybe we can see them play?
We're going to see what goes. I mean, you obviously can't activate everybody. So, and the guys, we'll just see. We'll see how the number goes. That's not the way I'm approaching it. The starters are going to play, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, they've prepared themselves to do that, and they want to play. And meaningless isn't a good word. It'd be, like I've said before, like say your article tomorrow is meaningless. Well, it means something to you, right? So this game means something to these guys. And
a better word.
All right, well. That's why you're a journalist, right?
And back over what we were talking about with Mike and the coach, Marty seemed to echo some sentiment of frustration and trying to get Mike to just play a little less recklessly with the running and protect himself better. That's not an X's and O's thing. Do you think that can be coached into him at this stage of his career?
Well, listen, it's a fine line there because you're dealing with a highly competitive guy, and he's all about the team. And at the same time, you're sitting there and you're saying, well, if you get hurt, that hurts the football team, right? So, but you don't want to take away that competitiveness from his game, or where he's hesitant and doing things that he probably shouldn't be doing. So we'll continue to work on when you have an opportunity to go down, you go down. When you have an opportunity to go out of bounds, you go out of bounds without taking the hit. We've gotten better in some games than we had, you know, other games, but we'll continue to preach that. But at the same time, I want him to play the game and play it with aggressiveness.
Do you feel like over the last two or three games where he's run a little at that, he's showed already a little bit of improvement in that area?
Well, I mean, the point of going down or getting out of bounds, you've seen him do that a couple of times, so that's a plus. You got, when you're around this kid, you love his competitiveness. I mean, you just love the way he goes about his game. And when you talk about being all in, this kid, he is all in every snap. And you love that part about him.
Last year, so much was made about his work ethic and how he really ratcheted that up. It just hasn't been a topic of conversation this year. Has he maintained the same level?
I actually think he's doing more this year than he did last year. He's spending even more time. He's in phenomenal shape. Anybody that can play the game the way he plays it has to be in phenomenal shape. So he keeps that part of it tip-top, his diet, his conditioning, and then the in-classroom work that he does. He spends a ton of time with the game plan and spending time with Doug and Marty and Howard, and they cover it from A to Z, and he's all in with that.
As you get closer to Sunday, and especially with the way the team's playing, is it tough not to have that feeling in the back of your head that I'm not ready for this thing to end on Sunday?
I mean, I don't go there. I'm but we've got to play the game, right? So I don't. That it's kind of comes back to Ruben's question. I don't enter that area. I'm ready to go for Washington.
Like a total shock to you Sunday afternoon. There aren't any more games to get rid of.
I just don't go there. You know, I stay away from that.